Welcome to RHRealityCheck.org's RealityCast, where we inject truth into the sex and reproductive health debate. Each week, we'll be bringing you news, opinion, and advice on sexual health issues, as well as interviews with some of the most prominent names in sexual health advocacy. Here's your host, Amanda Marcotte.
This week on RealityCast, I'll have an interview with David Nolan about the Catholics for Choice's new report on Bill Donahue and the Catholic League. Also, a review of John Hagee's teachings in his reactionary San Antonio church, a tribute to Sue Johansson, and a wingnut who has a refreshingly honest understanding of his own inability to argue a point. Fellow podcasting fans, if you didn't know, The Onion now has satirical news reports as short podcasts. It's called The Onion Radio News. You can subscribe on iTunes just like you can with this podcast.
It's The Onion Radio News. A long-time sexual fantasy is awkwardly fulfilled. This is Doyle Redland reporting. After nurturing the fantasy of having sex with two women at the same time for several years, Lexington, Kentucky record store clerk Andrew Marcone finally participated in a clumsy, embarrassing menage a trois last night. Marcone had this to say about his brief encounter with girlfriend Karen Wagner and her roommate Shelley Pauline.
Well, I really did it, for what it's worth. So much for wondering what it would be like, I guess.
Marcone, who ejaculated a mere 6 minutes into the long dreamed of experience, reportedly spent the next half hour, quote, trying not to get in the way of his still to be satisfied companion.
The failure of many of us to have exciting sex lives that we'd like to have is a constant source of humor at The Onion, and usually hilarious. A few weeks ago on this podcast, I did a segment exposing the politics of Rod Parsley, a minister that's influential on the McCain campaign in the same way that Reverend Jeremiah Wright is on Obama's. You know, in interest of keeping it fair. And I followed it up with a column about another powerful minister that's not nearly getting the news coverage that Wright is, Pastor John Hagee. Then I realized, oh yeah, Hagee's got all sorts of audio out there to clip from so I can get the word out to you guys on what a scary duty is. So, back to that subject here on the podcast. Hagee is a scary dude because he's the head of the Christian Zionist movement here in the U.S. that wants the government to make decisions about our relations with Israel to be decided on Hagee's interpretation of biblical prophecies. Yeah. Well, that's outside the scope of this podcast, but don't worry. Hagee is as obsessed with sex as the rest of the Wingnutteria. Here he is in 2006 talking about Hurricane Katrina.
Do you still think that Katrina is punishment from God for a society that's becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah?
All hurricanes are acts of God because God controls the heavens. I believe that New Orleans had a level of sin that was offensive to God, and they were recipients of the judgment of God for that. The newspaper carried the story in our local area that was not carried nationally, that there was to be a homosexual parade there on the Monday that the Katrina came.
Yeah, he really thinks God is cruel enough to kill people to make Hagee more comfortable about that homosexuality thing. Interestingly, this belief lets government officials who did not do enough about the hurricane off the hook. Of course, the Hagee Church practices demon exorcism, and you can guess about how progressive and feminist a practice that is. Here's an example of a Hagee disciple church practicing this.
Pastor, this woman here has been possessed by witchcraft. Tonight God set her free. The devil came right out of her tonight.
In the name of Jesus. Say it in the name of Jesus. Say it in the name of Jesus. You devil of witchcraft, never come back. Never come back. Never come back. I said never come back. Never come back.
Yep, witchcraft. You can also get rid of lust and cancer by casting out demons. Whether or not that actually works is never questioned. Some more clips of Hagee being political.
We are embracing the era of darkness when the Boy Scouts of America are censored and penalized for refusing to accept homosexual scout leaders. We are a pagan nation where we're rebirthing Sodom and Gomorrah.
I like this part because wingnuts are always trying to recast religious dogma they're shoving down our throats as if it were secular wisdom. But once they think you're not listening, suddenly the interest in science, evidence, or reality goes out the window.
We have endorsed sodomy and call it an alternative lifestyle. It is not an alternative lifestyle. It was an abomination. It is an abomination. It will always be an abomination. It will never, ever be right. I don't care how many gay pride parades you have, how many polls you have, how many physicians you come out, how many studies you produce. It is sin and always will be a sin.
Yeah, well, I've been saying that there was no secular reason to be anti-sex, and Hagee agrees. I guess we just don't agree that the First Amendment and the separation of church and state should be honored.
Our government has created a spiritual crisis and demands Bible believers to bow down to it. Bow down to abortion. 4,000 babies die every Monday through Friday in the United States of America. It's nothing but cold-blooded, state-supported murder. I don't care how you look at it. That's what God's Word says about it. Your daughter can get an abortion at public school without telling you. But she can't get an aspirin without your approval.
Actually, you can't duck out into the nurse's office and get an abortion in between classes. You can probably get a tampon, which is probably why Hagee is confused. It's true that they'll let any old girl menstruate without getting her parents' permission at school. I like this quip from Hagee.
And that's because they didn't have dishwashers then, for some of you younger ladies.
If a man's hand toucheth a dish rag, then his balls shrivel up and fall off his body, so saith the Lord. If we're going to start exposing the political speech at the pulpits, all I'm saying is, let's be fair about this. I'd like to welcome David Nolan to the program. David is the Director of Communications for Catholics for Choice. He's here today to discuss a recent report CFC did on Bill Donahue and the Catholic League, exposing them not as the defenders of Catholics that they claim, but a right-wing political organization. Welcome to RealityCast, David.
Thanks for having me on.
So, why Bill Donahue and not any other right-wing shill out there?
There are, as you say, a number of right-wing shills, and this latest report is actually one of a series we've done on organizations of conservative Catholics, the American Life League, Priests for Life, and Catholic Answers are other reports we've done over the past couple of years. We actually enjoyed doing the Bill Donahue and the Catholic League one the most, because Bill has set himself up as such a proponent and defender of Catholic values. But anybody who's paid any attention to his career and his statements over the years know that there's not very much that's Catholic or religious about him. And he's much more about making loud noises in the media and attacking anybody who dares cross his path. We feel that Bill has set himself up as one of the biggest defenders of the Catholic faith, but the way he goes around he goes about doing that has, I think, brought ill repute on conservative Catholicism, and has led to a huge heap of criticism going upon his organization, even to the fact that some Catholic bishops have rejected his claims to be defending the Catholic faith.
Why do you think the mainstream media takes his claims to speak for American Catholics at face value?
I think that's a good question. He set himself up. He's a good operator when he understands the media very well. The media is interested in a dogfight. We look at talk radio, Bill O'Reilly's TV show, any cable chat show, you find that they want a controversy. They want somebody who's forthright, who's argumentative, and who can spin a good yarn. Bill Donahue spotted that many years ago. He also spotted that kind of media are very interested in attacking the liberal arts, for want of a better phrase. And he has concentrated over the years on attacking artists, right to free expression. And one quick look at his website shows that he gets himself out there an awful lot. He sends out a press release almost every day and has no shortage of opinions on any range of issues. Our biggest concern, I think, with him is that we value and respect the opinions and values of those who do not agree with us, provided that they are represented in a fair and reasonable way. Bill Donahue has contributed immensely to the coarsening or denigration of the democratic process and of political discourse. And there doesn't seem to be any end to that denigration of the political discourse. And we feel that it's important to show these people up for what they are in an attempt to reclaim the high ground and say, yes, we value your opinions. You have every right to present them in the public sphere. But let's keep it on an even keel. Let's not abuse people. Let's not attack people without good cause. And let's not insult people just for the sake of it.
How does the Catholic League differ from legitimate anti-defamation leagues?
I think one of the big differences is that there are a number of anti-defamation organizations who are careful to acknowledge that every criticism of their religion or race or anything is not an attack on the religion or of your gender or of your race. There are legitimate criticisms to be made about almost every organization or group of people in the world. There are, you know, these legitimate criticisms can be presented in reasonable ways, and they do not come across as attacks on a religion, for example. Bill Donahue sees, and the Catholic League see, every criticism of the Catholic Church and Catholicism itself as anti-Catholic. I think in the report we point out that over the years the number of attacks that Bill Donahue and his organization have documented on Catholicism and the Catholic Church has almost tripled in the last decade. This is not the case. We are living in an era when tolerance of other religions, I think, is at a fairly high level. People are generally very careful when they criticize religions to make it clear that they are not attacking the religion per se, but particular exponents of it, or they're criticizing particular beliefs because they hurt other people. Bill Donahue doesn't have a sieve through which he can figure out which criticisms of the Catholic Church are legitimate and which are anti-Catholic. You look through the most recent reports, I would be hard-pressed to say that any of the instances of anti-Catholicism that he has documented are in fact true anti-Catholicism. They are criticisms, more often than not very legitimate criticisms, of the Catholic hierarchy, especially around, for example, the sex abuse scandal, and the Catholic hierarchy's opposition to condoms and contraception and so on. And Bill Donahue just doesn't see the difference between a legitimate criticism and an attack on a religion. And for that reason, I think he has stepped out away from the mainstream of anti-defamation organizations and has become a mouthpiece for himself and a very extreme version of the religion he claims to represent.
Can you explain Donahue's role in the priest sex abuse scandals?
Yeah, the sex abuse scandal has really hurt the Catholic Church as an institution in the United States. Conservatives, liberals, almost Catholics of almost every hue and political belief have been very, very disturbed by it. Many liberal organizations see the problem. Progressive organizations see the problem as being a particularly one of a celibate priesthood, the fact that there are no women priests, and the lack of accountability of bishops, who are accountable only to the Pope, not even to the people in their own diocese. Bill Donahue and some conservative organizations have laid the blame squarely at what they see as a libertine culture, and the presence of homosexuals in the priesthood. Research from science and medical journals for many years has shown that there's no link between pedophilia and homosexuality. In fact, pedophiles tend to be asexual, and it's all about power rather than any particular sexual leaning. Bill Donahue doesn't see it that way, and he sees it. He sees the sex abuse scandal as being, as I say, entirely due to homosexual priests and liberal libertine culture, which at its root is destroying American society. And so, therefore, anybody who is not opposed to homosexual priests or gays in the priesthood or to married priests is seen as part of the problem.
What I find interesting is how Donahue has it out as much for professed Catholics who ask questions as he does for non-Catholics, calling you malcontents and the like. Has Catholics for Choice tangled with him in the past?
We have. On various chat shows over the years, we've gone head-to-head with him, and he is not afraid of issuing a couple of press releases a year about particular activities or statements we've made. We've always found that his comments and criticisms are so far off the mark that they're laughable. But you're right, he does have a very narrow view of what he regards as true Catholicism. And like others with his particular beliefs, the Catholic Church would be a very, very, very small place if his definition of what represented a good Catholic came to fruition. The fact is that the word Catholic with a small c means wide and all-embracing, and that's actually what the Catholic Church tends to be, rather than the narrow and very, very encompassed view of the Catholic Church that he would like us to have. So whenever people issue polls that say Catholics think X, Y, and Z, and Catholics support contraception, Catholics have abortions, Catholic women have abortions at the same rate as women of other religions, he turns around and says, oh, well, they're not real Catholics. They don't go to church every day, or every week, let alone every day, and they don't follow to a letter every single teaching of the Catholic hierarchy. Well, that's not what the Catholic Church is. That's a very narrow view, and one that ultimately would destroy the Catholic Church if it ever came about.
You can read the full report and take in some of the other great materials offered by Catholics for Choice at catholicsforchoice.org. Thanks for coming on a Reality Cast, David.
Thank you for having me, Amanda.
Now listen up.
Sad news. Sex education guru and Canadian grandmother Sue Johansson is ending her show, Talk Sex with Sue Johansson. She's in her late 70s and the show is on really late at night, so she's slowing down a little bit. Still, in her 70s, Sue has more energy than most of us combined. It's a sad day. She's fresh, fun-loving, and genuinely interested in helping people, a complete 180 from your average abstinence-only speaker, who has more than a little glint of misogyny and sadism going on. For sex educators the worldwide, she has been a role model. She understands that you can't really educate about sex sticking to the dry biological or safety topics, but you have to be really comprehensive and talk about fun and play and pleasure too. So you could learn anything from how to use a condom on her show to how to use a sex toy. Watching her was like getting sex advice from your grandmother, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Oh, you take that vibrator. Take the vibrator, turn it on. This one's just a rockin'. My little whirling dervish, it's okay. This is why we have so much fun on this show.
I could have really used the information in this next clip in high school. I was terrified of getting an STD from a toilet seat. There seemed to be some kind of ironic karmic humor in the idea of a virgin whose prom date possibilities were iffy getting some vile STD without having any more fun than peeing usually is.
No, there's nothing you can get from a toilet seat. Honestly, honey, now think of the construction of a toilet seat, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the bacteria or the virus, if we're talking about gonorrhea, if we're talking about herpes, which is a virus, if we're talking about chlamydia, if we're talking about venereal warts, which is a virus, has to gain access to your body. Can't do it through intact skin, and particularly intact skin on your tush, which is pretty tough stuff.
Don't worry. I did have a date to the prom, and I did not get a disease from a toilet seat. Sue also had a lot of relationship and dating advice.
So what you got to do is find fun things that you can do to spice it up. Now, you're never going to have that same intensity every time you have sex. That's totally unrealistic. But if you get it every once in a while, that spark when it kicks in and it's like, vroom, then that's makes it all worthwhile. But if you can have fun with it, so you have sex in different places, you plan a special date, a big heavy date, so that you're out alone together in a romantic place.
When I first saw her show, I was so startled at the combination of the grandmotherly vibe and the blunt sex talk, I just howled with laughter watching her show. But then I got to really listening to her, and I thought she was a really great educator, exactly the sort of person I'd feel comfortable asking anything of. Anything.
And a female dog has a muscle, a very tight ring of muscle, around the opening of her vagina. And that prevents the male dog from withdrawing his penis from her vagina until he has ejaculated. Okay? So literally, his penis is trapped in there.
Okay.
And that is their body's way of making sure that the female dog gets pregnant. Humans don't have that tight band of muscle.
In case you were worried about that. She talked about the pleasure issues and clarified places where people were confused, but she also covered safer sex issues and healthcare. Here she's talking about the IUD versus the pill.
This is the newest one. Now, I want to check out. Have you ever had a pregnancy?
Yes, one.
Okay, then you're a good candidate for an IUD. And that is an IUD, today's IUD. Mm-hmm. And I can take it out and just show you. And it is small.
Right.
And it's very soft and flexible.
Is that a five-year one?
Yeah, this is the five-year one.
Yeah.
Yep. And it just goes, the tails go into the thing, into the, and it goes in that way, and that way, and that way. And then that is inserted into your uterus, like
right.
that.
After last week, with the playing all those scary anti-choice abstinence scolds that call themselves educators, it's nice to hear someone who thinks your body belongs to you, that pleasure is good, and that sex should be as healthy as possible. Sue will probably still be doing some sex education in schools, as she's always done, but she'll be a sorely missed presence on TV. We need many more out there like her. And now for the wisdom of Wingnuts. I liked this recent video from a guy ranting about how global warming and the war are non-issues to him as long as women have rights.
The same commie lib suckers who want us to get all hot and bothered over their issues about animal rights, global warming, a war in Iraq, are the same people that are for murder of the unborn. I see a contradiction here. So while we're murdering over 3,000 babies a day, here's my opinion on all your f***ing issues.
Global warming!
What's cool about it is that he realizes he's got no argument, so he just farts in the camera. There's a refreshing honesty to that because most anti-choicers have deluded themselves into thinking they can actually argue a point.
That's it for this week's edition of Reality Cast. Please tune in next week for another dose of reality in the sexual health debate. Visit www.rhrealitycheck.org and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, various news feeds, and daily emails. Thanks for listening and see you next week.